Amen. It's a good-looking crowd this morning. Look to the person beside you and say, he's right. Amen. I am so thankful for the opportunity this morning to be able to come and share with you the message that God has given me to be able to declare his goodness. And you know, and God is, he's an amazing God, and the things that he has done for us that we can see recorded in Scripture is just beyond comprehension. And so the title of the message is, hey, where are we going? And so that's Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, and this is an event that's recorded in Scripture that's in more than one gospel. And we'll be looking at a couple of verses in the book of Luke also, but this is going to be the main verse that we're going to be looking at. And in studying my notes, I didn't have my pages rearranged back in the right order yet. And so, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. And before we read the Scripture, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, please. Father God, we love you and we praise you, Father. And we are just so thankful for this opportunity to be able to come into your house, Lord, as like-minded believers, singing praises to you, Lord, and here to worship you. Father, there is no one like you, Father. No one loves us like you do. And Father, that you loved us so much that you were willing to give your Son. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Father, that they would see the love that you have for them, Lord, and Lord, that they would be willing to surrender and to submit their life to you. Lord, give us strength, Lord, to face each and every day, Father, for we do have trials and tragedies and troubles that we are either going through or that lies ahead. But, Father, you won't give us more than you can help us handle. Father, you tell us to cast our cares on you. Lord, you are strong. Lord, you are able to, you carry the world on your shoulders or in your hand. And so, Father, may we just recognize, Lord, that while things seem to be overwhelming to us, Father God, it's not for you. So, Lord, may we just take a deep breath and put those cares into your hands and, Lord, just allow you to work the way that you see fit. I love you, Lord. I praise you. And, Father, I pray today, Lord God, that you would just speak through me, Lord. It's not about me. Father, I decrease that you may increase. But Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord, that people would be able to see your heart. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. But Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And there's four things that I want us to look at today. And the first thing is his willingness. The second thing is his preparation. The third thing is his endurance, and the fourth thing that I want us to look at today is the outcome. And so when we talk about his willingness, the thing that we need to look at is this word led. It says, then was Jesus led. And you know, when we think about the word led, that means that we willingly follow something or someone. And I know the military, we have a lot of military people here, and I think there's quite a few that has just come back from deployment. And so being in the service, that you have a leader, and so you follow them, so they lead you into different places and to do different things. And I just want to take a moment that I really thank each and every one of you for your service, and also for your families and the sacrifice that y'all give every single day. And so I appreciate your service. And so I look at Jesus, and again, the word led, again, speaks to his willingness. He wasn't forced to go. He wasn't made to go. He wasn't tricked to go, but he willingly walked behind. And again, the next part that we'll look at here in just a moment is about the Spirit. But I want us to also, when we understand in reading the Scripture, we understand where he was being led to, because we just read the whole verse there where he was going to be tempted of the devil. And so, but yet he was willing to go. And I look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the first part of that verse, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And church, when we look at the cross, we have read the scripture and we have heard messages preached on the cross and how horrible of a thing that was. And yet it says in Hebrews, it says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured that. What possibly could that have been that would cause him to want to endure those kinds of things? And church, the thing is that he looked past the cross and he's seen us seated in heavenly places with him. See, Miss Frieda, if you'll put that next part up there. He looked past the present suffering to see the eternal result. And that's what we have to do. We have to look past the present suffering. Church, every single one of us in here, we have things that we endure on a daily basis. We have family troubles. We have health issues. We have problems on the job. We have all kinds of things that just bombard us on a daily basis. And again, sometimes it feels overwhelming, but we have to look past the present suffering to see the eternal results. But the scripture again also says that he was led up of the Spirit. And that's the same Spirit that we see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, when the verse says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." That's the same Spirit. But church, we have to be aware that not every spirit is trying to lead us right. You know, just because we have an urging, or just because we have a little voice that we hear, or what all of these things might be, just because we have that, it doesn't mean that it's the right thing to be listening to. 1 John 4, verse 1, the first part of that verse, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." See, it's okay that whenever you feel something, it's okay to take and try that. God says, look, he says, not every spirit is of God. Not every spirit's trying to lead you right. We have to make sure that it's the Holy Spirit that we're following. And how do we do that? We compare what it is asking us, what it is wanting us to do, to Scripture. See, this is the truth that we have. And if it tells us to do anything different than what the Scripture is telling us to do, we need to recognize that's not God telling me to do that. That's not God asking me to do that. And so Jesus, again, he's led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And so that leads us to our second point. His preparation. See, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, again, that first part of that verse, it says, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. See, Jesus, he takes and he leads by example. There's a lot of instances that we see Jesus doing things in Scripture that we need to take and be and recognize those things that we can apply to our everyday life. And so Jesus, one of the things is talking about praying to the Father. We read through the Scripture in many places where Jesus, he was either praying, or he talked about praying, or he asked people to pray, or he even told people to pray. Prayer plays a huge part in the Scripture, and it should play a huge part in our everyday life. So praying to the Father, and then also being full of and led by the Spirit, and also knowing the truth and walking in it. Every single day we can follow this example. Church, Satan doesn't want you praying. So he's going to pile all kinds of things up in on you in your daily life to where we don't have time to stop and pray. Most of the time, as soon as our eyes pop open, we're already thinking about all the stuff that we've got going on today. And it is very easy to just jump out of bed, hurry up and throw your clothes on, take and comb your hair, which I don't have to take as much time on that as I used to. Take and comb your hair, and then take and grab a quick bite and out the door. You know, I've just got so much going on. And then all of a sudden at the end of the day, you know what? I forgot to pray this morning. Or it's even, I'm so busy. You know what? Lord, I just don't have time to stop, you know, for the quiet time this morning. There's all kinds of things that go on. And so Satan, he doesn't want us to spend time in prayer. He doesn't want us to really seek that fresh filling of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. He don't want us doing that. And then also, he doesn't want us to know the truth. Therefore, we don't have time to read the Bible a whole lot. And so therefore, church, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know what's in here, you can be easily deceived. Because there are some things that there are some charismatic people out there that can tell you some things that seems like truth that's not. Knowing the truth and walking in it, we can do that. We can try to do that every day. But the third thing that I want us to look at is his endurance. Preparation leads to endurance. Church, can I tell you something? If I took and stepped off this stage and I walked out that door and I was going to run a 27-mile marathon, or if I decided that I was going to take and tomorrow I was going to go and do the American Ninja Warrior contest, do you know where I would be? Miss Frieda, can you put the next one up, please? That's where I would be. They would be loading me on a stretcher because I had not prepared for it. Preparation leads to endurance. Church, the Bible talks about enduring, but there is a way to get to be able to get to that place. It takes being on your knees. It takes praying. It takes seeking the Father. It takes seeking His will. It takes studying the Scripture. It takes all of that. And so I want us to, again, to look. In Luke chapter 4, verse 2, it gives us the indication that Jesus, many times and I stopped right there for a reason. Many times we think that this temptation, that Jesus went out there, he did a 40-day fast, he had the three temptations, and it was over. That's not what Luke 4, 2 gives the indication of. It says basically that Jesus was tempted all 40 days with a stronger temptation, save till the end. See, Luke 4, 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. 40 days. And in those days, it says he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he hungered afterwards. The phrase to be tempted, to entice or attempt to entice someone to do or acquire something they find attractive, but know to be wrong or not beneficial. It also talks about to try to trap, to attempt to catch in a mistake. But did you hear that first definition, though? It says that something that they find attractive but know to be wrong or not beneficial. Can I tell you something, church, that there is nothing that Satan can offer that is going to be of any value whatsoever. He's going to think that he's given you the moon, but the only thing is that there's going to be a bigger loss than that. You might have the moon, but there will be no purpose and no benefit of it. Plus, you have given up so much more than you ever gained. That's the way he works. Satan has no friends. He doesn't want any friends. To him, everything is a means to an end. He will use you until you're all used up, then he will throw you away and he will move on to somebody else. That's the way he is. And yet, many times we fall for that old lie that, hey, you know, you can have this, you can have that. This will make you feel good. This will make you feel better. This person will love you more. This person this. You know, he does all of those things. And all he ever does is destroy more and more and more of us. See, it says to be tempted of the devil. John 8:44 speaks of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth. There is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of lies. To be tempted of the devil. You know, I thought back in Scripture, and I remember in the book of Genesis where, you know, to me, Satan, a lot of times, he normally is not on the scene. He's normally behind the scene and he's just manipulating something or someone out front so that way, you know, he's never really noticed. But here we have Jesus that says being led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And so as I look at it here, that Satan, he looks at this and he's thinking, you know what? I used the serpent there. I used Amnon's best friend, and I used this guy, that guy, this girl, that all of these things. And he says, but you know what? He says, I'm taking this one. He says, I'm not leaving this to anyone or anything. He says, I'm doing this one. And so I want to know if we understand the extent of the temptation. Do we understand 40 days with the master manipulator, the father of lies, something that has no truth in him, then at the end pulling out all the stops and hitting the hardest with the last three temptations? See, because he goes, if you're the Son of God, why don't you do this? Or why don't you do that? Has any of you ever seen America's Funniest Home Videos? Have you ever seen men on there do some of the craziest things? You know how they get those videos? Somebody says, well, if you was a man, you would jump that snowmobile off of the house into the swimming pool. Yeah, well, I'll show you, because I'm a man. But you know what? Satan, when he looks to God, when he looks to Jesus and he says, well, if you're the Son of God, and Jesus just answers back with the truth. Jesus, he doesn't have a pride issue. See, us guys, we have a little bit of that problem. That we allow ourselves to be pressured, or we allow our pride to dictate some of the actions that we do that we wouldn't normally do, but we kind of get put on the spot. Well, if you're a man, well, I'll tell you what, I'll show you I'm a man. Jesus wasn't like that. He had nothing to prove. He didn't have a pride issue. Satan has a pride issue. He takes him up on a high place and he says, all of this, he says, I'll give you. He says, if you bow down and worship me. Can I tell you this? Jesus doesn't have a lust issue either. And he knows the truth. Because the thing is that he would have lost more by Satan making him thinking that he was going to gain all of that. He would have lost more had he done that. And that's what Satan doesn't let us know, that, hey, you know, you can have all of this if you just do this. But the thing is that not only do you still lose all of that, but you lose so much more. So I want to look again at Jesus' preparation. Again, we know that Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer and communicating with the Father, as well as we should. But also Luke chapter 4, verse 1, being full of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 1, being led by the Holy Spirit. And then Matthew 3, 17, it talks about walking in the will of the Father. So if we could take and we can learn from Jesus' example, and we could do those things, and we can start to make that pattern in our lives, that we would be able to do a whole lot more for the cause of Christ, and we would be better prepared, because again, preparation leads to endurance. And so I want to look at the last point, point number 4, the outcome. Satan has to obey God. Did y'all hear that? Satan has to obey God. In verse 10, Jesus tells him to go away, and that it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan leaves, even if it's for a season. Because look, again, look at verse 10. I want us to look at that real quick. And I'm reading out of the King James Version, but in the CSB, it basically says, then said Jesus unto him, in the CSB it says, go away. That's what Jesus says to him, because the King James says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But the CSB says, go away. You have done everything that you can possibly do. You have thrown everything at me that you can possibly throw. And Satan, you are not victorious. I am the one that is over all things. And church, that's the way we are. The Bible tells us that we are more than overcomers. We have the victory. Satan got scared. But in verse 10, he tells him, go away. And then in verse 11, what does it say? Then the devil leaveth him. He leaves. Church, look at Job. All of those things, Satan had to go before God, and he was still, even then, he was trying to manipulate God. But he never could, and he never can, and he never will. He's a created being. God's all he's eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. But he has to listen. And so Hebrews 4:15, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Why did Jesus go through all of this? Because he wants you to know that I understand how you feel. I understand what you're going through. That when you're going through the problems that you have in life, and you are bowing down and you are praying and you are pouring out your heart to God and you have tears running down your face, our God is saying, I'm helping you. I understand. I am with you. I am not going to leave you. I am not a distant God. You're not over here going through this, and I'm over there somewhere else. He says, I am right here with you. Just like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was in the fire with them. He was not standing on the outside somewhere saying, you go, guys. He was right in there with them. And that's the way he is with us in our struggles, in our trials. He's with us in the good times. He's with us in the bad times. So the title of the message, hey, where are we going? Believe it or not, it's up to you. See, Jesus, he was led by the Spirit. Church, being a child of God, I'm led by the Spirit. But you know what? I have my own will. And sometimes I can look at things and I can kind of see where things are headed. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to go there. And I can resist. Or I can decide to just stay home and not face the things of that day. Or I can say, you know what, there's an eternal impact here, and I can go and I can trust that God knows what is best and that he is going to be with me, and I can be like David and I can just grab a few rocks and a sling and I can run out to the troubles that I'm going to face today, and I can say, hey, I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord, so bring it. It's up to us every day how we're going to face things. So some things I think that Jesus would want us to know is that he's approachable. He's approachable. The Bible tells us that whatever issues you're having, it says to come boldly to the throne room of grace. Come on. Do you know what? At my house, when I was younger, if I was outside and I encountered any problem whatsoever, I did not run up to my mom and dad's house and knock on the door and wait for somebody to answer the door. And then if it was my mom, and say, hello, mother. Is father home? Might I have a word with him for just a moment, please? And then when my dad, he comes and he says, "Yes, son." And they say, "Well, Father, I was out frolicking through the woods, and I encountered a serpent out there, and I would just like to know if you would come take care of that for me, please, sir." That's not the way things would go. But I tell you what, that if I encountered a snake, I would bust through the house and I would holler, "Dad, Dad, there's a snake out there." And you know what? My dad would welcome that, and he would go and he would take the necessary measures to remedy the situation. And that's the same way our Heavenly Father is that He wants us to bust in and say, "Dad, Dad, I have a problem." Because He loves us that much. He loves us that much. And He went through all of this because He looked past the present suffering for the eternal result. Church, He was looking at that, and I can just imagine, He says, "You know what?" He says, "There's going to be a lot of people that is going to be helped by Me doing this. And because they are going to find help in this, then I'm going to take and deal with this. I'm going to do this because there is a lot of people that is going to benefit from this." And he wants us to understand that He understands better than we think. And the last thing is that He did this and endured this for us. It has an eternal impact as a result of this event. Church, the things that we endure on a daily basis, people are going to grow as a result of that on how we handle it. They can look at it and say, "You know what? What Pat went through, that was crazy hard. And yet I seen him stand strong. Or maybe I seen him be vulnerable. Whatever it may be, you know, I've seen him trust God go through this." You know what? A lot of people, they'll look at us and they'll say, "You know what? If they can do it, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay." Jesus wants us to know that we are going to be okay because of Him. Because of Him, we're going to be okay. We don't have to be overwhelmed. We can take and we can, all of these things that's going on every day, we can take and we put it on Jesus. His yoke is easy and His burdens are light. He wants us to put it all on Him. What He has for us, like I said, His yoke is easy and His burden's light. All of the stuff that we're carrying every day, guess what, is mostly a result of Satan piling all of that stuff on us to try and get us to give up, to quit, to say it's not worth it. But I can tell you this, Jesus is worth it. He is worth it. So we're going to have a time of invitation as they come to get ready for the song. We have places to pray. If the Lord is leading you to come and pray, or if you're feeling overwhelmed and you want somebody to pray with you, or if you're here this morning and the Lord has touched your heart and you know that you need to give your heart and life to Him, then I just pray that as we start, or you don't even have to wait, you can just get up and come down. However you feel the Lord leading you, then I pray that that is the way that you walk this morning, that you are led by the Spirit and you just willingly fall in line behind the Spirit and just follow where He leads. Do what He wants you to do. If you would, please stand.